Where did you get to on 19? Were you down to 11 and 12? Mm-hmm. Is that where I think I tapped into our website and listened to the last few minutes of Mike's, and I think that's where we got down to. We're in question 11. What is our judgment about our own behavior and that of others to be based on? Did you guys, actually getting into this grace and I get into a little, are you getting a little uncomfortable? Does it feel kind of strange, especially when we start talking about some of this stuff? I'll get into it a little bit more. It's so different than, I think what we're used to and what the world is and everything. It's totally contrary to what the world, I think teaches and directs. So, alright. What is our judgment and about our own behavior and that of others to be based on? CNN's latest poll.
The principles in the word.
Principles in the word. And that the key word there being principles. They're two different things. There are a lot of commands in the New Testament, in the epistles, Paul's epistles. As Vern calls them, I like the way they're doing logical imperatives. I like that versus commands, because when I think you get into commands, you easily shift over into that's a law. And that's when, can law and grace be together? Even just a little bit? Mix a little in there? No, you can't. So when we say the commandments in the New Testament, like I said, I like the logical imperatives. And logical imperatives mean it's not a cause and effect. It is, if this is true, then this is true. It's if you are in Christ, you will do this because you're a new creature in Christ. It's not if you do this, this will be the result. It's just who you are in Christ, you'll do this. You know, as Mike usually says, you know, he didn't have to teach his dog to bark. They bark. It's a dog. You know, if we're a new creature in Christ, these logical imperatives will be easy because that's who we are. Okay? Everybody understand that? So we look, and then there are commandments, and then the other was principles. And I think that's, there are several principles outlined in the scriptures. And that's the guidelines that we have now, are principles. We have the commandments that tell us, okay, if you're in Christ, you should act this way. But then there are also principles, guidelines for us. And that's how we, under grace, in liberty, function. Everybody understand? Yeah.
Is that distinguished by the tense, Greek tense, the difference between commands and principles?
You can get it by the tense, because there's the mood tense. The one it's fact reality, that you can get it by the Greek tense, also by, I think, the context of it, but I don't think they're always of the Greek.
I'm trying to think. Imperative.
Yeah, imperative that you're, you know, it's always a fact reality and that kind of stuff. But a lot of it it can be in the context too. You are, be filled with the Spirit. You know, I don't know, I'd have to look that up if that is the imperative. There are a bunch of other ones that are out there. I think I've got them listed in here somewhere. Love one another. There are ones that are out there that, and I'd have to look if they're all imperative or not. So I guess my answer is kind of waffling. I don't think they're all exactly determined by the Greek tense. Or is it with mood, tense,
mood, tense, and voice?
Voice, yeah. So I don't know if they're all established by that. Do you know, Roger? I don't think they're all by the.
Not sure.
Yeah, I can look into that and see, but I don't think they're all that way. So you can. I guess my answer is I don't think you can look at the Greek tense and say, "Aha, this is a command for us as believers." So, unless anybody else has got a thought on that, okay. So it is based on the principles. If we're to be based on principles, one, where do you go? The word. But then, too, you have to know that. You have to find, you can't just by osmosis, you know, you have to study, and who do we study? Christ. Okay, Christ, number one, because we are to be conformed to his image, and I think in Colossians 3, we're to be imitators of him, which is kind of a different thing. We're not just supposed to imitate, but be conformed. That word is not quite like we just act exactly like. So it's based on the principles we determine from the scriptures. And the more you know the scripture, the more you know the principles. So, you know, it's kind of like if I think we've used, you know, with your wife or your spouse or your friend or whatever, the more you're with them, you know everything about them, how they act, how they work, how, what their, you know, responses are, everything. Similar to us, when we study the Word and we know Christ and we study the Word and his principles, then we can apply those in our lives or understand them. So it's critical that we understand the principles because, again, in grace, we're not under a set of laws. And so our guidelines are based for our actions are based on principles. So, it is imperative that we understand the principles because we don't have a set of laws. And I'll get into it in the next lesson. That's why I'm kind of fumbling here a little bit. We'll get more into that. Number 12, how much liberty or freedom does a believer have? Again, this is question 12, lesson 19. How much liberty or freedom does a believer have? A little bit? A lot? Medium? Do you guys need coffee today? Is this? I've got my coffee. You guys are little lot?
Could you use what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:12? All things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient.
Why, you've looked at my notes.
Could you categorize that as a principle then?
Yes. Yes. And that is exactly the one. 1 Corinthians 6:12. All things, and basically all things, the areas where Paul doesn't have specific commands, okay, are lawful for me. Outside of this specific commands, are principles. So, did it say most things are lawful for me? All things. Boy, doesn't that begin to get you a little itchy?
Yeah. Yes.
Doesn't that just kind of, what? What did he just say? All things are lawful? So, the caveat though is that if there are specific commands, do not steal. You know, that is not something that is lawful for him, or it's outside of the specific commands that are in the scriptures, those logical commands, logical imperatives. But all things. Boy, that's what I said, that itchy, that kind of, this just doesn't feel right. Because, you know, we're a nation of laws, the world is law. The old man, again, while we go through the identification, is the old man versus the new. The old man just loves to have those laws. Loves to have these metrics that say, how high am I? How good am I? As a new creature in Christ, how high are you? Do you have to get a little higher, a little better, a little more? No. You are a direct offspring, legitimate, equal, without the deity of Christ. You're a new creature in Christ, new in kind, new in quality. Ephesians. I've been blessed with what? Most of the blessings? All spiritual blessings in the heavenly. You get this all? all things? How much more do you want? Yeah, Steve.
There's a couple interesting things that function there too. If you're just simply under the law, someone can just say, do it. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have any thought process. You don't have to weigh any principle. You don't have to weigh any, use any reasoning. But with the freedom, there's a couple big buts there, and that's all things are not helpful. Well, that means I've got to kind of weigh that as I go along, based upon my knowledge and submission to Christ's principles. Mm-hmm. Same thing with the second part of it. Won't be brought under the power. That's mm-hmm. pretty key there.
Mm-hmm. Well, and see, this is the thing that, you know, that this factor of our liberty, you know, if you have a law, it's very rigid. Either it's black or white, and we feel comfortable with that. The old man feels very comfortable with that because, you know, I got to do something. Because if I do it, I know exactly where I'm at. But under grace and the liberty that we have, yeah, we have much more freedom. You know, is the unbeliever thinks they have all this freedom? Are they free? Is an unbeliever free?
No.
No, he can only do one thing. And what is that?
Sin.
You know, and so we have this freedom. You know, and it is, there are things with that as far as trying to understand the edifying. We'll get into that in this next lesson a little bit about what edifying, what does that mean and how do you do it? You know, it's to edify. Well, what does that mean? Build up? Okay. How do you know what is right or wrong? The principles that they're outlined in the scripture. So it is incumbent upon us to understand those, which means, again, grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we grow in the knowledge of Him and in the grace, we understand these principles a lot more. So again, it's a growing thing, which is, you know, there is some level of maturity that goes on to understand all those things. All right, let's go on to lesson 20. And we'll go through the verses real quick. I'll go through them so we can get through this. It is 1 Corinthians 10:23. All things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things edify. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. 1 Peter 2:13. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority. In Hebrews 13:17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Okay, first question, lesson 20. What is my personal and God's goal in the Christian life? And then I say you can look at that 1 Corinthians 10:23. All things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things edify. What does edify mean? Edify.
To build up.
What?
To build up.
To build up. Anything else? If I edify you, what am I?
Glorify.
Yeah, there's some of that. The Greek word is okademio, to be a house builder, i.e. to construct or confirm. So it's a building term. So it is to build up. It's like a house builder. You're building. You build. So under grace, what is the object of our life, or what are we to be built up in or to?
It's not a trick question.
Conform to the image of Christ.
Yeah, Christ is our object. Okay, so we're supposed to be built up in Christ. Okay, to become Christ-like. And that, yeah, out of the verse for that, Romans 8:28-29. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For those He foreknew, He predestined to what? To become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brethren. Okay? So, we're to be conformed. That is the object. That's what we're supposed to be built up in. So, when it says in the Corinthians verse to edify, all things are not profitable, but to be edified. To edify. So what, to be built up. So if you are, I don't know, stealing. Is that being built up in Christ? No. There's a specific command about that. But if you're doing things that are not being built up or being conformed to the image of Christ. Are those the things you should be doing or focusing on? No. We're to be conformed to his image. That's where the edifying, Steve, when you're, you know, about what that edifying and what we choose. It's those things that build us up in Christ. Again, what I like, and Mike many, many years ago told me, you know, you go to the scripture not to know facts, but to know him. And as you know him, those things are the things that will edify you or build you up in him as you understand who Christ is. Because that's who you are. when you really get down to it, it's who you are. Okay? Therefore, even though all things are lawful, the question we need to ask is, whatever I do, does it make me grow into the likeness of Christ? So that's the principle. Again, principle, the guiding guidelines for us, not a law, not a set, you know, A, B, C, D, but does it conform us to the image of Christ? Okay? All right. Question two. Do obeying laws accomplish this goal? See, this is getting easy. You guys at least know. Okay, I see the shaking head, but no! No, it does not. Even though, as Steve said, it's very nice, you know, I have my laws. Boom, boom, boom. I don't have to, I do it and I know what the cause and effect is. You know, under the principle in grace, the freedom we have in grace, it's a lot different. We have liberty. We don't have these laws. But we can't be built up in Christ under the law. If we look at Romans 5:20, remember what the purpose of the law was?
Convict.
What?
Convict.
Convict? to actually it make sin increase. The law came in Romans 5:20. The law came in so that the transgression would increase. So can you, by law, be built up, edified in Christ? No. The law came in so that the transgression would increase, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through the righteousness, through the eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Again, therefore, one does not see this principle of likeness to Christ anywhere in the law. At best, law would try and convince one that they might be able to imitate the behavior of Christ while on earth. But Christ-likeness for the believer is conformity to his glory as it is manifested now. This is accomplished only by the Spirit of God. Again, it is not a set of laws that say, do this and thou will be conformed to Christ. A, B, C, D, E. There is no law under that. It's principles, okay? Be conformed to, and all these, you know, be filled with. Yeah.
Okay, so which side of this does what would Jesus do?
That to me is, it, you know, if I wear a bracelet, you know, that to me is a law. You know, what would Jesus do? Okay? Now, in principle, if you look at his principles and follow the principles in Scripture, yes, that is following Christ. What would he do? You know, looking at his life, looking at who he is. But the bracelet that says, you know, what would Jesus do? That to me is a law. You know, well, X and Y. Okay, what would Jesus watch TV?
Depends on the program.
Yeah. So, you know, what would Jesus do? What does my bracelet say? That's what, I mean, a law, it, you know, okay, what would Jesus do? I want X, Y, and Z. You know, tell me. Well, you know, would he drive 56 miles an hour on the highway, you know, or, you know, what, tell me the laws. And what would Jesus do to me is always, somebody just wants a set of laws. And they want this A, B, C, D, E. And under grace we have liberty. You know, we have these things. And again, what we're going to find out is a lot of it's individual liberties. What's right for you may not be right for me. you know, we're all different. There are some that are alcoholics, some that are not. You know, you get a drink near an alcoholic, not a good thing. Somebody else can have a glass of wine and no problem. So it's individuals. And I like that because that also demonstrates to me the individual intimacy that Christ has with each and every one of us. We're not all just cookie cutter Christians. Everyone is an individual. I think the body concept, you know, I may be a thumb, you're a knee, you're a toe. We're all different, but we're all part of one body, but all individuals. Hence, our grace and our liberties are all individual too. And this is where I put in my notes. Doesn't this feel a little bit like heresy? Doesn't it kind of feel funny?
Yeah. What helps me sometimes is to think about the fact that, you know, in grace, in Christ's life, that's not a lawless life in the sense of what God is. That if I find myself in Christ doing things that are clearly against Scripture, like lying, cheating, I know that that's not Christ's life.
Right, and that's why I say when I started this out, there are two different things. There are commandments in the epistles, clear cut. You know, if you are in Christ, you won't steal. If you're in Christ, you won't lie. If you're in Christ, you won't. Those are specific. We have guidelines for those. Okay, but there is. What about TV? Yeah, and I think Mike touched a little bit last week. What about smoking? Yeah, I don't think there's maybe a smoker in here, but what if somebody smoked? Some people have cigars in here, I know. So what about them? Yeah, Steve.
Well, I think in certain instances, too, that's what gets into people trying to legislate various things based on some Christian principle or organization or whatever it is.
Yeah,
it's kind of scary too.
That's why I say this kind of uncomfortable heresy act, because there are a lot of people who want to dictate behavior based on no specific scripture or what they feel, but not, you know, in a principle that may be direct to you in one direction, but it's not in for everyone. You know, it's like I said, for drinking. If you're an alcoholic and have trouble with alcohol, you shouldn't get anywhere near a bottle. But that doesn't mean that somebody else who doesn't have a problem, no, you shouldn't get drunk. I mean, that's there, you know, don't be drunk. So there are guidelines on that. But there's not a strict prohibition to say you can't drink. Smoking. You know, you can get in, and we'll get into the next question, you know, about your body. There are some things on that. But there isn't a thing that says no smoking.
Go ahead. Okay.
Okay.
Well, you know, when we did the Romans class, you get in the part about liberty and the weaker and the quote weaker and stronger brother, which you find you can be. I find I can be on either side of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you're strong, sometimes you're the weak brother. Yeah.
But if you know. In Christ, you want your brother to succeed. You want him to grow in grace and the knowledge of him. So if drinking is a problem for him, you may say, hey, I'm just not going to drink around this person. But I know it's a problem for him.
Well,
so there's a Christian, there's a modulating factor in that as you're concerned for your brother in Christ or sister in Christ.
A couple issues with that. Well, did you want to go ahead? I guess the thing is, in the principles, what are you supposed to do it in? In love. Okay? Love is one of those principles, okay? One of the commandments, you know, love one another, okay? So, if I've got a brother or sister who's got an alcohol problem, I'm not, you know, I have the freedom to have a drink, but am I going to do that? And this gets into the verse, which we'll touch on, about stumbling. You know, where Paul says about stumbling. That's a very specific thing versus offending, okay? And so you get into these things, you know, out of love. You don't drink in front of somebody, you know, or you know, they're perfectly good things about smoking, you know. I don't like smoking in my house, so I can tell you not to smoke in my house. That's my principle, my guideline in my house. But I can't tell you not to smoke when you're in your house. So there are a lot of things that we'll get into that we'll flesh this out a little bit. But again, all the principles come into effect. You know, loving someone. You know, if you do something that just irritates somebody, it's perfectly legal, but you know it irritates, you know, somebody, and you're doing it just because it irritates that person, you're free to do it, but are you under the principle of, or the command of love? You know, we'll get into kind of some of the different things of that. Okay.
Did you read The Hungry Heart yesterday?
I think I did.
It threw some ideas at me that I hadn't thought about before. I was talking about how people want to, it has relationship to circumstances. People want their circumstances to be to the point where they can rest.
Mm-hmm.
The circumstances are a problem. Okay. So do we grasp onto law thinking that if we do X, Y, Z, our circumstances will be better and we will be at rest? The point of that commentary was that is a dangerous place for a believer to be because you aren't growing.
Absolutely. You know, there was a song, and I can't remember the exact words, it was something like, sometimes in a storm, sometimes the Lord calms a storm, sometimes he calms me in the storm.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was a great verse. You know, and what is most of the time? Lord, stop the storm. Get me out of here. You know, and he's not going to stop the storm. He's going to give you rest and peace within the storm. And that's a key. And, you know, that's why when we pray, a lot of times it's, you know, your mom. Our prayer is we'd love to have her healed better than dancing, you know. But the Lord has his purposes for their family, for her, and I can't shake my fist and say, God, make her better. You know, you have to. I don't know his purposes. That's why I say there. We've talked about this. There shouldn't be any tragedies in a Christian's life. God is in control, using it for his purposes. And if sometimes pray. I usually pray, if it's your will, do this. I'm perfectly at rest if he doesn't, you know, if I've got in my business, you know, Lord, if you want to take the business away, that gets a sign, he does.
You ask me, you don't have to throw it.
Yeah. the crowd is getting violent here. Yes. I know, I thought that was a sign, okay, Lord, to take my business away. No, I mean there are things, but throughout all this you can have rest through anything if you start understanding these principles, you know, that he's in control. If he's in control, how can he be mad about something? How can he be distressed about something? You know, I go back to one that for some Lord early on, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Okay? James 1. I've held that, and talk about contrary to the world. Consider it all joy, my brethren. Yahtzee, what is this?
It's not just in the world. It's in Christendom, too. Because
what?
It's not just in the world. It's Christendom, too. So
absolutely.
Yeah, packs of the hardest times.
Some of the hardest ones are in the Christian realm.
Yeah.
You know? You know, there's the prosperity doctrines, you know. Give and you'll be blessed. I'm getting, you know, or healing ones, you know. Paul had a thorn in his side. You know, couldn't remove it. Whatever that thorn in the side was. You know, bright, but it never was removed. The Lord, you know, sometimes, you know, the Lord uses these things. All of it's for his purposes. You know, when the young man who's 17-year-old, who was a grandson of one of good friends, was shot and killed by accident. You know? A 17-year-old kid. Do I get angry at God for that? Do you know, his dad, very strong Christian. You know, he told, this is one of his nephews that shot his son. You know, I said, you know, I don't understand this, but maybe that God knew that he would have more troubles later in his life, and God used this for his purposes now. This was the dad. You know, he knew Christ is in control. Because if he didn't, he'd be just destroyed. But if you understand that, I mean, you understand, but you don't understand it, if that makes sense. You understand that God's in control, but you have no clue what he's doing. But you rest in the fact that peace that surpasses all understanding is knowing that he's in control. And then consider it all joy. And what is the purpose that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing? So again, sometimes he calms the storm, sometimes he calms me. So anyway, getting off a little bit there. Three, what is the instrument the Holy Spirit uses to edify? A bass saxophone. Sorry, that was... I thought I heard an answer out there like that. What is the instrument?
The word. Isn't it?
He does, but how does he edify? I guess through us. It basically our what I was looking for. Maybe that's confusing.
He's talking about an instrument.
Yeah, but the instrument he uses is us.
Oh, okay.
Okay, to edify. Okay. So our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So take care of it. So this gets into some of those things. Look at 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not of your own, for you've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Okay, so the body is the instrument that the Holy Spirit uses to build up the body of Christ. Okay, so, and we're built up through the Word, but He uses us to glorify Him. Okay, so the instrument there, not the bass saxophone or the Word, is the body. Okay, we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Again, so take care of it. You know, this gets into some of those things, but it's an individual liberty. You know, you're smoking. So, you know, if you can't be used because you're, you know, that's something you individually have to deal with, you know, how you can be used by the Holy Spirit. That's the temple. So take care of it. But there's no law that says, you know, I have to have hair that's only 1 inch long, that, you know, or that I have to be built up, I can bench press 255. There's nothing like that. We're all individuals. But remember that this is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Take care of it. And how do you feed it? Through the Word. Okay? Any questions there? Question four. What should be the motivation for everything we do? That we get wonderfully rich. That we all live to be 99.
To glorify Christ.
Glorify God. Okay? Exactly. That should be the motivation. Okay? And we're getting along as to how we fit into this grace system. We should, whatever, should be glorifying God. So these, the guidelines and the principles that we live under grace, these are some of the principles to glorify God. We saw it in the last verse in that Corinthians 6:19, therefore glorify God in your body. We can also look at one of the verses we had for today, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether then you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to what? The glory of God. Again, these are the principles. These are the principles we're talking about. You know, if you're doing something that is not glorifying God, should you be doing it? And that can be individual too. You know what? You know that we get into this really squishy.
You watch TV every Saturday night when you should be studying. Is that right? Do I have any right to say that? No. No, no, no. But is he glorifying God? I really wonder about that, should I? No. We'll get into this. This is that freedom that we get into, and it, like I said, that kind of uncomfortable bit. So it's to glorify God. Why do we glorify God? Why do we do it? Because it's a law, right?
No.
What?
Love.
Love?
Because he's worthy.
What? Because he's worthy. He's worthy? Yeah, it's God's purpose to conform us to Christ's image. Okay? So what was Christ's purpose? What did Christ do?
To do the Father's will.
Yeah, to do the Father's will and to glorify him. So hence, if we are conforming to his image, what will we do? Glorify him. Glorify God. Okay? So, my motives are to be Christ-centered and not out of self-centeredness. We are to be glorifying him. That is our motivation, is to glorify him. Again, all things that you do they glorify him? Does it glorify him? Okay? That's our motivation for doing things. Again, freedom that we have, we're kind of principles, guidelines, these are the things that help us go down the road. Yeah.
You say we are conforming ourselves, but doesn't God do the conforming?
The Holy Spirit.
Well,
yeah, conforms. Yeah. Yes. Yes, exactly. We are to be conformed. That's what we grow in the
image.
Yes,
but
yeah.
He doesn't.
The Holy Spirit actually. One of the things I was talking to Mike about, one of the next ones I want to teach, we did it one time before, and I think I want to get back to it, is the Holy Spirit. What is the role of the Holy Spirit? I think we're kind of touching on it. It's possibly what we'll teach next time, because that's important. When we taught it the first time, I was amazed at what the Holy Spirit does and how much we think we need to do, and it's the Holy Spirit doing it. You know, back to my pull the string on my back, identification truths. The old man wants to do all this stuff. It's the Holy Spirit's job to do this. And I get in the way. Because I want to help him. I'm just so much better. I want to help. So that may be our next one, is the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that does it. Yes. Okay. Question 5. Why are my actions under grace an individual decision when my behavior is not covered by a specific command? Why is it individual instead of when there's no specific command? We've been talking about it. What?
Well, didn't you say under grace we have individual principles?
Principles that deal with us individually. Right. Because under grace, which is unmerited unlimited blessings from God, is controlled by principles rather than statutes or law. In the area of liberty under grace, it's an individual decision. Each believer has specific weaknesses and strengths. Therefore, some things may stumble one believer, but be perfectly tolerable by another. Under grace, we have individual liberty to live under principles and not a set list of laws. Okay? This is where I put my note in here. Doesn't this feel like heresy? Doesn't it feel uncomfortable? When I look at this, I think, man, I've got this uncharted land out here, and I can go wherever. I like a little boundary here. I want some boundaries to keep me going. At this, you know, I'm in a big open sea, and I don't know what I'm doing.
But don't you think, though, too? I mean, that's where we're talking about. If you're under the law, and the unbeliever under the law has no liberty.
Exactly.
But we do.
We have immense liberty. And that's the fallacy. That's the fallacy of the as the unbeliever going, oh, you Christians, you have, you know, you have all these do's and don'ts and la, 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 la. No, it's just the opposite. We have the liberty. They do not.
Good. Don't you think sometimes, too, that this can get perverted into the what's true for you isn't true for me?
Yeah.
Attitude that you see sometimes too?
A lot of that, and that, again, the knowledge of the word is key.
Okay?
Yeah.
But what a lot of times, and I don't know if I have this in my notes here. I think the tendency, and what we'll get into is the principles, and we'll get into it in the next lesson about authority. He's carved out some authorities, government, within families, those type of things. But the principles, the tendency is, this is what I think. You know, thou shalt never touch a glass of wine.
You should too.
I have no right to do that. And there's no specific command that says that. But I think it's this, and I don't know what it is. You're trying to feel within the, trying to get back into these laws. It just, the old nature always wants to pull us back into law. And it is the dumbest thing we ever do. We have ultimate liberty. And like I said, it's kind of scratchy. It's just this, what do you mean, Christianity is a bunch of do's and don'ts, laws. No, it's not. It is under grace, utmost liberty. And that is just, the peace that surpasses all understanding, the rest that you get, that the world can't provide. These are all the things when you realize you have this liberty. And then it's not a set of laws. A couple of the verses we're getting closer to the Galatians 3:24. These are the law based people, and I've had some friends when they did this. When we talk about law, and I talk about the grace that we have, and we're not under law, and they always go back to the Ten Commandments, and we have laws, and la 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 la. And one of the ones they always do is, therefore the law has become our tutor. This is Galatians 3:24 and 25. Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ so that we may be justified by faith. Stop. Okay? So what does that mean? The law is good. It leads us to Christ. And they stop right there. What does the next verse say? But now that faith has come, we're no longer under a tutor. What did that just say? We don't need the law anymore. And I got it. Like I said, the people who they always quote that verse. And I said, just read the next verse. Read the next verse. Now faith has come. We don't have the law.
What was that verse again?
It's Galatians 3:24 and 25. And then Romans 6:14. For sin shall not master over you. For you are not what? Under law, but under grace. How clear can that be? Why do you want to mix law back into grace? We're not under law. And, I think if we were still in law, we needed specific laws for everything that we encounter in life. TV. Drinking. Smoking. Working on Sunday. Going to church on Sunday. What if we needed laws for all this? Do you realize what that would mean? God would probably have to issue an addendum every day. You wake up, like manna. You'd have the sheep that would show up on your doorstep. And this is today's laws.
Today's refrigerator list.
I mean, literally, that's, if you needed, under what we have grace, if you wanted laws, we'd need a new list every day. I mean, every day is different, isn't it? Every day you come up with a new thing. That worker just really got in my face today. What am I supposed to? Oh, here. It's 3B. I'm supposed to love it. Okay. See how insane that would be if we had to have laws for everything? So understand why we are under principles. Principles give us the freedom to understand how to react in all these different situations. We don't need a laundry list every day. Yeah.
So the problem with Christendom that goes and embraces the laws is in these verses they interpret it as Old Testament law or something?
Most of the time it's Old Testament. They'll go back, Ten Commandments were under that, or any of the laws, any of the Jewish laws.
So it's not the principle of law, meaning if you do this, then this will happen.
Well,
the definition of what law means.
But, well, in the Romans 6, it's under any law.
Right.
Any law. The 6:14, for sin shall not be mastery, for you are not under law, but under grace. That wipes all of them out. But when it's the law, it's the Ten Commandments.
Okay. So they don't understand the principle if then.
Yeah.
What law?
Well, to me, how much clearer can Romans 6:14 be? And read through Galatians. Go through Galatians. And read it with an open mind. Law and grace were on trial. And law gets obliterated. We're not under law. We're under grace. Very specific. So, but I'll tell you, there are lots of Christians who want to be under law. The old nature keeps creeping out. That we want law because it feels good to the old man. This is what Steve started out with. Hey, here's the line. Okay, I won't cross that line. And I know where my boundary is, and I feel warm and fuzzy. That's the old man. He has a metric. He has something that he can measure against. And that is, the law creeps back only through the old man. The new creature in Christ is not under that law. And that's what I say, when you get to the identification, truths, when you start understanding, when you want to creep back and put that little law in there, realize that that is the old nature doing that. It is not the new creature in Christ wanting to be put under a law. How stupid is going under law versus the freedom and liberty that we have in Christ? I just, it doesn't make sense. Like I said, this is a real kind of interesting thing. Like I said, when you start really doing this, it feels uncomfortable at the beginning. What do you mean I don't have laws? I don't have these perfect walls that channel me down the hallway. They're principles. And they work individually. Last thing before, I thought about this, the individuality of it. One of my favorite things is Abba, Father. We have the intimacy to come before you, before God, Daddy, individually. Doesn't it make sense that He individually gives us principles? That He allows us as individuals to function under a set of principles rather than, how'd you like to be, don't answer this, how'd you like to be a child and said, you have this parameter, you can go exactly here, you can do this, you can only walk, three steps forward, two steps to the right, and that's all you can do. I've told you exactly what you can do. And I haven't done that. This is a dangerous example with children and my children in here. Even though they think I've done that, I have not done that. I have not done that. But you see what I'm saying? How would you like a daddy who just says, you can only do three steps, this and do this, and you have to eat only at 1 o'clock, 5 o'clock, and whatever. And so many rigid things happen. That's insane. We have the intimacy to go to our Father. We have that intimacy. We have that one-on-one. He gives us the freedom to operate within principles. Just like in a family, a dad gives principles to his children. Not strict laws. All right, let's close. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Father, we thank you for what liberty we do have in grace, what freedom we have. We have that freedom within the specific commands and principles that you've outlined in your word. And we just thank you that we do have that intimacy, that individual relationship with you. And we realize that under grace we have unlimited blessings through the Lord Jesus' finished work on the cross. So, Father, we just rest in that. We grow in that. And we celebrate the blessings that we receive through grace. And we just thank you for this time to get in your word. And I just pray that we will rest and be comfortable in the operating system of grace which you provided. We do this all in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Amen.